I want us to look at something that we may have overlooked in the past, because the idea of who we are and who God is. And he starts back in the Old Testament, because you see, after 400 years in bondage, they had kind of forgotten what was written about Joseph. Every time Joseph had another obstacle put in front of him, remember, the obstacle was his brothers. Then the obstacle were his cousins, the Ishmaelites. Now, think about that. They were his cousins who took him and sold him into slavery. And then he goes into slavery, gets in the Potiphar's house, gets falsely accused, and he goes to jail. Then when he prophesies over the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker and tells them what's going to happen, he thinks he's getting out. But he doesn't. He's there for several more years. And the whole time, every single time, it says, and God was with Joseph. And God was with Joseph. And God was with Joseph. Well, the Israelites had forgotten that. Kind of like us. Maybe you haven't ever been in a situation, but God, if you're with me, why in the world would you leave me here? I can remember my first, every year, you had a review. You had to go before the president of the denomination, and they would review the past year. And we had a new president. I had known him from New Jersey, and he said, what do you think? I said, you want an answer or you want the truth? He said, well, whichever you choose. I said, well, here's what I think. They only left me in Vietnam a year. When are you going to get me out of here? That was 30 years ago. Yeah. I realized was in a combat zone. People, I don't know if you realize this, but you're in a combat zone. I don't know if you realize this. We're in bondage. The children of Israel were in bondage, but they forgot. See, I had forgotten that on my way to Vietnam, God told me I would come home. And I had forgotten that God led me to Fredericksburg. Because after we came here, if Don was, I believe, in the board meeting that night, and I told them, I said, even if he asked me to come, I'm not coming. Why? Well, then why are you here? To do a favor for somebody who asked me to do him a favor? I'm not coming. I'm not coming. If he asked me to come, I'm not coming. That was 30 years ago. Yep. See, God had other plans. The Israelites forgot what God had been saying. And God was with Joseph. And so God says, how can I let them know? How can I let them know? And in Genesis chapter 25 and verse 8, that's wrong. Excuse me, did I say Genesis? Well, I'm in the other Genesis. It begins with E, Exodus. See, I just wanted to show y'all I am human. I do make mistakes. I know y'all may not think it, but next time you think I'm not, ask my wife. Yeah. That's the one I wanted. I knew it was there. He says, how in the world can I let these people realize I was with Joseph? I know Joseph looked like he was in slavery. I know Joseph looked like he was in prison. But just because you're not where you want to be doesn't mean God isn't where you are. Because I'm here to tell you, the children of Israel wanted out of Egypt, but they did not want to go where God was leading them. Now, they wanted to, just like we do. Yeah. Yeah. We want to go. We were talking yesterday, I think it was, when Kate said, yeah, it would be nice to go down to Disney if it wasn't for that 12-hour ride. Yeah. It's the trip getting there. Yeah, Carol wants to see Shannon, but it's that whole plane thingy, you know, and God took that over because, see, she'd probably rather ride for 24 hours than fly for two, you know, unless she has to go over a bridge. It says, they are to make a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them. They are to make a tabernacle, a sanctuary for me, that I may dwell among them. And God wants us to know, it doesn't matter what you're going through. People, right now, we are going through the craziest times in our nation's history. And when you think about this, there's been three times in the past when the House of Representatives had to decide who the president was. We may be there again. Yeah. And let me tell you how good God is. We were talking about it a little bit before Bible study this morning. The House thinks they're going to decide, and you go, oh my goodness. They have a majority. But the House doesn't decide. The states decide. The states decide. And the states have a different majority than the House. So now they're worried again. See, God is with us. I don't care what it looks like. God, Israel forgot. Israel forgot the Red Sea. They were in bondage, and they want, I want out of here. And they're gone. Wasn't there enough graves in Egypt that you brought us out of here to die? Because remember what they saw. They saw to one side clouds. And it was the dust from the Egyptian chariots coming to kill them. To the other side, they saw the Red Sea. We have nothing to fear except we forget the way the Lord has led in the past, someone once said. They forgot. What have you forgotten? God says, I need to remind them. I need to remind them. I need to remind them. How can we do that? How can we do that? And here's something. I don't know if you were listening to the debate the other night, but one of the questions was, I don't know if it was the debate, town hall meeting. I get so confused now. There's nothing but politics, it seems like, on TV, on your phone. They said, about packing the court. And they said, let's form a committee. The one thing I learned from being in a denomination, when you don't want to do anything, you form a committee. And they said, we'll form a committee and study that. God doesn't say that. Here's what God says. When I want something done, I always look for an army of one. And when I wanted the children of Israel out of Egypt, I didn't form an army one. When I wanted them to go into the promised land and I had to overtake Jericho, one. I know they say the children of Israel marched around. It was Joshua. It was Joshua. See, that was Abraham's mistake. If you find 10 righteous, will you spare? Always get it down to one. See, God didn't come to save everyone. He came to save you and you and you and you and you. One. Because he can do more with one. And here's the way he puts it. One can slay 1,000, but 2, 10,000. I will never leave you nor forsake you. There's always two. Always two. If you choose there to be, he's always there. And he says, I have to remind them. I need to. And what he did, he said, I will dwell among them. And they told them how to make it. And they used badger skins. And they made this tent of meeting, this tabernacle. And he says, I will dwell among them. And that's Old Testament. That's Old Testament. And I even heard one of my favorite preachers recently made the statement, we don't need the Old Testament anymore. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. He said, I will refer to it, but we don't need it. People, we still need to know God has not left us. Because I know it seems kind of odd. We said yesterday at the funeral home, I don't know if people realize this, but somebody could have conceived and given birth to a child during this time of COVID. Can you imagine that? That's how long we've been here. How long, oh Lord, how long? My cardiologist the other day, because he said something about breathing, I said, I have a problem breathing with a mask. And he said, oh, it'll all be over soon. And then I became the doctor, and I said, you go with that. I said, you actually believe they're going to let you stop doing this? Let me tell you something. Once they start, they never stop. Now they're saying, wear goggles with your mask. You know what? Because they can still recognize you. Preferably sunglasses. Think about what God's saying. He says, how can I do this? I want them to know that I haven't left them. Because here they are. Yes, I've taken them out of bondage. And they were in bondage of sin just like we were. And I'm going to take them into the desert. And he takes them from there, and he says, I'm going to have this daily reminder. I'm going to have this, not daily, moment, but any time they look. And if you look at the way the camp of Israel was set up, if you look at the way they pitched their tents, the sanctuary was in the center, and they would have some out to the east, some out to the west, some to the north, and some to the south. And it would always be in the shape of a cross. Always. And the ones to the south had more, so that was always, the south was always longer. But it was always in the shape of the cross. And the thing was, yes, I'm in the center of the cross. It's about the cross. It's about the cross. It's about what's coming. It's not just about where you are. It's about where you're going. And so he tries to remind us. In the Old Testament, he says, I'm going to build a sanctuary or a tabernacle that I may dwell among them. So then he comes and people say, we don't need the Old Testament. You don't need anything but Jesus. And you have to see it in the whole message of when you looked at the tabernacle, it was the center of the cross. And then he comes to John. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, 14. I got it right this time, Jay. John 1, 14. It says, the Word, and we could go back to John 1, 1. The Word was Jesus. The Word was God. The Word became flesh and took up residence among us. King James says, and dwelt among us. Both of those are fine. There's one version that says, and I don't know, it might be the version that Eddie reads from all the time, but it says, Jesus moved into our neighborhood. I don't know if that's your version or another version, but I remember reading, Jesus moved into our neighborhood. All those are good, except, you know how things get lost in translation and we try to clear it up for people? Well, what I really meant was, you saw that in the debate the other night. You know, when the former vice president was leaving, he had to clear up or clarify what he meant. Well, what I really meant was, sometimes we do that in translating. We say, well, how can we make this clearer? And the way they made it clearer was they changed it. They changed it. You know, took up residence among us. Well, the Greek word there doesn't mean took up residence. The Greek word there, rightfully translated, is tabernacle. Same exact word used in the Hebrew. Same exact words. Yeah. How can I let them know? How can I let them know? Well, here's how I'm going to let them know. I will tabernacle. See? The problem is we look at the church, we look at doctrine, we look to the government, but we should be looking at the cross. See, it's about Jesus. If you want to know who's in charge, see, I'm going to tell you exactly how to vote now, this coming election. And they say they could take my 501c3 away from me if I tell you. But you know what? I'm going to tell you. Vote the Bible. Vote the Bible, people. If the Bible says thou shalt not kill, don't kill. Well, it says thou shalt not murder. You know, don't murder. If the Bible says it, Wendell in Bible study this morning said it. You know, I'm going to go with the Bible. I'm going to go with the Bible. How do we know? He says, I will dwell among them. The problem is we've forgotten who Jesus is. We think Jesus is who the church says he is. We think Jesus is who our friends say he is. Jesus is who he says he is. And he says, I and the Father are one. If you have seen me, you've seen the Father. Now you think about that. Because they, the disciples, were with him for 3 years and they still didn't know it. How many years have you been with him? And to me, like I say, the whole lesson in what Connie's going through right now with COVID is She's the only one, really, who hasn't been in church here since COVID started. Can I see a show of hands of all the others that have had COVID that have been coming? Now, that's not her fault, because she's the one that prayed, God, I want to witness. You know how hard it is to witness from your bedroom? Especially when there's only one other person and they don't want to hear it. Yeah. God says, Connie, talk to the wall. That's as good as talking to the person that's there. They don't want to hear it. Or as Izzy used to say, talk to the Paul. Yeah. They don't want to hear it. So she prays, God, I'm of no good here. Put me somewhere where I can be. Well, I didn't mean here, God. I mean, I meant, you know, like, I don't get me back to church. Let me go to Walmart. Mac's words keep coming in my ears when we called the rescue squad for him that day at the storehouse over by the fairground. And the guy from the rescue squad says, what's going on? He said, somebody at the hospital needs to see Jesus, and I'm going to take him. I mean, think about that. Think about, I will tabernacle. I will set up in you. In you. That doesn't make us Jesus, but it makes us his children. And Jesus says, if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. The problem is the church has said for years, don't look at me. Don't look at me. I'm not perfect. No, but the one who lives in me is. The problem is he has a lot of flawed individuals. As I think it was Paul said, of whom I am chief. It says the word became flesh and tabernacled. Same words. He doesn't want to remind the world. He wants to remind you. It's not about the world. It's about you. I think I saw a bumper sticker that said, to many, you may not be anything, but to one, you may be the whole world. And you know who that one is? Not your husband or wife. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Because he's the one. He's the one who can set ten. Think about what happened. When they came to arrest him, they fell as dead men. And then remember what he said. I do nothing of my own will. I only do the will of him who sent me. See, that was the power of the Father. When he dwells, give me your best shot. Give me your best shot. Try to shut us down. Try to shut us up. I don't care if you shut us up or shut us down. There is a God in heaven. Now, just like David said, you come to me with mask and gowns and goggles, but I come to you in the name of the living God. And nothing can come upon me that doesn't pass by his throne first. And if it passes by his throne, guess what? I'm taking it. Because I'll guarantee you, Moses was like the skipper. He did not set out for 40 years. He just sent out for a three-hour tour. And 40 years. 40 years. You know why? Because, don't tell Stan, they all got their stand on. And it took them 40 years to realize God was in their midst. It says water came from the rock. But then it also says this rock followed them. Can you imagine that? Waking up every morning and the rock's with you? The rock that brings millions. Talk to Ed Hainer. He'll tell you how many gallons of water a day it takes for each person. Yeah. And there were 3 million people, 2 to 3 million. You know, after 100, what difference does it make? It was more water, but the rock followed them. See? The rock followed them through the wilderness. Wherever they went, it was. And you look at that and you say, what is God trying to tell us? He's trying to tell us, I am with you. I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you, except during COVID. I will never leave you nor forsake you, except during cancer. I will never leave you nor forsake you, except during heart disease. I will never leave. See, never means never. Except when you lose a loved one. Why does this stuff happen? I don't know. I don't know. And trust me, I questioned for years, you know, why do the good people die young? I don't know if you've ever read My Utmost for His Highest, an amazing, amazing book written by Oswald Chambers. But he died so young. One of the best preachers who ever lived, Peter Marshall, died so young. And you go, why? I don't know. I don't know. I know my daddy always used to say, only the good die young. He said, son, you're going to live forever. Yeah, it tells you what kind of child I was. Yeah. And I used to tell my mom, God just gave me to you to teach you patience. Think about what he says. He's saying, the times in which we live, we need to remember. The Word became flesh and did the exact same thing he did to the children of Israel. That means we're going to be in the exact same place. We're in a wilderness. They didn't know which way to go. They didn't know when they were going to get out. They didn't know how they were going to provide. They only had what they could take with them. And people, maybe you don't realize this, but they didn't have U-Hauls back then or self-storage buildings. They could only take what they could carry. Yeah. But it was more than enough. I mean, for the journey, it wasn't more than enough for 40 years. I mean, you can only have so, you know, a lunchbox so big. But it wasn't what they could carry. It was who was carrying them. Who's carrying you? Think about it. God wants you to know, yes, you're in a wilderness. Yes, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. People, I don't even know what's going to happen this afternoon. You know, I'm expecting to be in Lynchburg by 3, which means I'm going to have to leave soon. But you know what? I have no clue what we're going to find along the way. And God reroutes us sometimes. He had me drive after, 15 years of going down there every other week. We know it by heart. As a matter of fact, I'm surprised that there aren't ruts in the road, and I just put my tire in, and it don't take me there. But for some reason, boom, right past the exit, and we're on 64. And we're supposed to get off at 118, and I look up, and it's a, what happened to 118? We saw 124, saw 121, never saw 120 or 118. And all of a sudden, we're seeing next exit. I think it's 114, 112. What happened to 118? Why did he do that? I don't know. I don't know. Another time, he has a cop pull me over for no reason. You know I'm a righteous driver. What are y'all laughing about? Yeah. But a cop pulls me over. And evidently he doesn't know I have an appointment to keep. But we still got there. I don't know what God has in store for me. But you know, whatever it is, see, he didn't just stop me. He stopped the God who is with me. Because Jesus says he has tabernacled with me. He has moved in, Stan, to that house with, boy, was I mistaken. I thought you only had 6 garages. I didn't realize you had 7, the perfect number, you know, 7 garages. Yeah. How many cars do you have? Well, everybody needs 7 garages for 1 car. Yeah, because you can choose then, which one am I going to park in tonight? Think about it, people. God says, Stan, I know right where you are. And you're there because you're my tabernacle. You're my tabernacle. You're my tabernacle. He has come. The Word became flesh and tabernacled amongst us. See, it doesn't matter what happens. I was going to say November 3rd, but there's no way we'll know November 3rd. It doesn't matter the results of the election. What matters is the vote you cast now for who tabernacles with you. That's what makes the difference. You know, I lay before you life and death, eternity, smoking or non-smoking. You know, I lay before you Jesus or the world. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Yeah. But I'm not perfect. You don't have to be. He is. He was, he is, and he always will be. But you don't know what I've done. No, I don't, but he does. And he says, come. Come, ye blessed of my Father. Because I've paid the price. It's yours. All you have to do is accept it. Your choice. Your choice. He tells you, Old Testament, the reason I needed to let them know that I am with them day in and day out, whether they're in Egypt or in the desert, I'm with them. And he needs to let us know. So he says it in the New Testament again. They just changed the words. Because it sounds better, dwelt with us. No, he tabernacled. Just like he did back. I am the Lord God, I change not. Your choice. Your choice. Think about it. I almost said pray about it. You know, if you have to make a choice between, let me think about this, life or death. I remember Rocky and I talk about Jack Benny, and they did a skit one time, and the guy said, your money or your life? I said, your money or your life? I said, your money or your life? He went, I'm thinking, I'm thinking. Yeah. That's the way we are as Christians. You don't have to think about it. Yeah, I like my dad's answer when he was mugged in Philadelphia. Your money or your life? Take my life, I'm saving my money for old age. And the guy laughed and left. thing about it, people. That's what we do as Christians. I lay it before you. If you have to think about it, let us pray. Father, as we sit here, we are living in the wilderness. And Father, we need to realize that in our midst, whether it's the election or COVID or financial problems or health problems, you are tabernacling right in our midst so that we will never forget who you are and whose we are. Father, let us realize that you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you're the God of each and every one of us this day in this place for your glory. Accomplish, Father, bringing back to our memory the idea that you didn't just move into the neighborhood. You're tabernacling with us, Father. You're within us. And if you are within us, bring it on, because you are well able to defeat any weapon. Your word says the gates of hell will not prevail. Your word says no weapon, I don't care if it's COVID or an enemy soldier, no weapon formed against us will prosper. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of serving. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Because he tabernacles with you, he says, "For I know the plans that I have for you." This is the Lord's declaration. "My plans are for your welfare and not for your disaster. My plans are to give you a future and a hope. If you accept my plans, you will call on me and you will come and you will pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and you will find me. However, only when you search for me with all your heart."